Please have your pew Bibles open at page 269, our passage that was read by Diane this morning from Ruth, Ruth chapter 3. But before we look at that passage, let's pray together. Father, thank you that you are a faithful God. Thank you that you promised to hear us when we pray in faith, and we ask now that you would help us to understand your word and to apply it to our lives, to your glory. Amen. Well, our passage this morning confirms one eternal truth. You can never be sure what on earth your mother-in-law is going to ask you to do next. Well, we'll unravel what Naomi actually does and why later, along with what Ruth is seeking when she meets Boaz. But first, I thought it would be good just to recap over the book of Ruth. We've looked at two chapters already. There's quite a lot in it. But looking at those helps us to see where we're going in this chapter too. So we've seen Naomi leave the land that God gave his people and move to the country of Moab, where she sees her two sons and her husband die, and she is left with nothing. But she isn't alone. Her daughter-in-law Ruth offers her total support in chapter 1, verse 16, making this promise: "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." For a Moabite, a non-Jew, to make this declaration is amazing. God's grace is at work here, because he has a plan for Ruth which will have consequences she could never dream of. Ruth is called and accepted by God as another member of his chosen people, and she moves under the protection of his wings. In fact, Ruth, from the pagan country of Moab, has shown more passion for Israel's God than Naomi, a member of God's chosen people from birth. Because in chapter 1, verse 20, we see Naomi saying this: "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." She is too busy blaming God for the past rather than trusting him for the future. She doesn't understand the grace of God. She has forgotten how God in his goodness provided relief for his people, even as they wandered in the desert before they entered the promised land. How he had been faithful despite their grumbling and bitterness. But Naomi is reminded of the providence of God by the fact that she and Ruth arrived back in Bethlehem at the time of harvest, and the dutiful Ruth is able to provide for them both by working hard in the fields. And it's here that Ruth meets Boaz, the landowner who deals with her with sensitivity and kindness, as he does his employers and other people too. We also see that he obeys the Jewish law regarding setting aside an unharvested area for the benefits of the poor, and goes beyond it by telling his workers to leave extra for Ruth to gather unhindered, and he also ensures her safety. Also, to Naomi's delight, Ruth, by working in the fields belonging to Boaz, has met a man who's a relative of Naomi's, and so may be able to deal with their poverty once and for all. But how could this work? Well, under the Jewish law, if a husband died, his property passed to his son. If he had no son to keep the land and his line alive, his brother had to marry the widow, and so she was rescued from potential poverty. And if she had a son, he would inherit the original land and be able to provide for his family. But both Ruth's husband and his brother had died without heirs, so the responsibility of acting as this kinsman redeemer passed to the next closest male relative. So So in our passage we see Naomi take the initiative. She seems to have stopped moaning and started thinking of others, not just her own situation. She's moved on in verse 1 of chapter 3 to consider the needs of Ruth. That Ruth needs a husband and a home of her own. But in Bethlehem, a Moabite woman was not only an outsider, but from a country where the women had a reputation for sexual immorality. A local man who married a Moabite woman could end up becoming a social outcast. Who would undertake such a risk? But Naomi knows the law, and that Boaz is a relative. So she sets up a meeting between Ruth and Boaz, which clearly asks Boaz to become Ruth's kinsman redeemer. It's important that we realise that Naomi isn't suggesting an act of seduction here. She's instructing Ruth in how to act according to custom and the Jewish law. The law which Ruth accepted as hers when she declared her trust in Israel's God. So Naomi prepares Ruth in such a way as to make it clear to Boaz that she wants him to marry Ruth. And you need to remember that at that time arranged marriages were the norm and the responsibility of the parents. Naomi's also found out that Boaz will be at the threshing floor, and knew that threshing was usually done at night because the daylight hours were spent harvesting and doing other work. She also knew that Boaz would go there to be sure that he got his allotted turn to use the communal village threshing floor, and that he would stay all night to prevent any theft of his grain. Assuming that the threshing floor in Bethlehem was as usual situated outside the village, then it was the perfect place for a clandestine meeting to take place, out of the sight of prying eyes, which could end in gossip and destroy the reputations of both parties. But what about Ruth? What is she thinking as she says to Naomi in verse 5, "I will do whatever you say"? She is certainly showing committed loyalty to her mother-in-law. She's understood just how important a husband's inheritance and a male heir are to the people of God, and how important the inheritance of her two sons is to Naomi. She is also willing to act as a member of the covenant family of God will be expected to act in a way that pleases God. This shows courageous obedience on her part, as she goes to seek grace at the hands of Boaz, her potential kinsman redeemer. She goes out that evening pursuing salvation, rescue from poverty for herself and for Naomi also. So after the harvest feast, Boaz comes back to keep an eye on his grain, and without noticing Ruth, he falls asleep. Ruth then lies down at his feet, a place of humility, where it was common for servants to sleep. When Boaz wakes in the middle of the night, Ruth in verse 9 identifies herself as his servant, and then asks him to cover her with the corner of his garment. Doing this would confirm him as her kinsman redeemer, and see him accepting what has really been a very delicate proposal of marriage from Ruth. A very countercultural thing for a woman to dare to do. By speaking out so boldly, Ruth has probably gone beyond what Naomi had planned, with just the outfit and the makeup. But Ruth has faith in both Boaz and her God that gives her the confidence to take a risk despite her vulnerable position. She is actively seeking salvation. And the action of covering with a garment, by the way, It's a reference to some verses in Ezekiel. Some lovely verses in Ezekiel where God expresses his love for Jerusalem and says this: I spread my garment over you. I have entered into a covenant with you, and you have become mine. Surprisingly, Boaz isn't fazed by what's happened, and his reaction is one of gracious generosity. He realizes that Ruth is honoring a family obligation and is honored to be asked. He starts by asking God to bless Ruth and thanks her for coming to him rather than chasing after a younger man. And his answer says a lot about his character. In verse 11, Boaz says, "And now, my daughter, do not be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character." He then clarifies that in fact there is another man who is a closer relative who legally has the responsibility to act as Ruth's kinsman redeemer. But Boaz promises to talk to him in the morning and says that if he won't fulfill his obligation, then Boaz will be more than happy to do so. Boaz knows that he has received grace from God and that he has a responsibility to show grace to others. A lesson that we need to learn as well. He then ensures that Ruth leaves in the morning with a large gift of barley, which equates to about 7 or 8 stone in weight, and makes sure that no one will gossip about the fact that she spent the night at the threshing floor. In verse 16, Boaz explains that the gift was so Ruth didn't go back to Naomi empty-handed. Naomi may have complained that she had returned to Bethlehem empty, but her empty days are now over. Boaz's actions are ones of grace and kindness, especially as he knows that he's not obligated to act. He could just have sent Ruth away to her closest relative instead. But he is a law-abiding person for whom the law is not just a legal code. It gives him guidance as to how to live as a member of the family of God. He sees it as fatherly instruction with guidance in how to love God and others. A love that even goes beyond the law and puts others first. Ruth knew that she needed to receive grace because she was in no position to remedy the situation herself, no matter how hard she worked. And so she went looking for grace. She knew that she now came under the providential protection of God, but didn't sit back and wait for food or money just to drop into her lap. She'd made sure that she and Naomi were initially provided for, and then she stepped out in faith. She knew she needed grace, outside help. So she obediently goes along with Naomi's plan and acts with humility, honesty, and boldness. She knows that God provides for his people, of whom she is now one. But her actions prove that she doesn't just know this, but believes it. You may have heard about the grace of God, but do you believe in it and trust in it? The Book of Ruth helps us to understand this grace and providence of God. We see the grace of God helping during times of hardship and suffering. We see the grace of God in his providential overruling of events. We see the grace of God linked with provision in a material way, in the opportunity to glean in the fields and the gift of barley from Boaz. In the Old Testament, Isaiah speaks repeatedly of God as the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And Jeremiah says of God's people, "Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name." and the role of kinsman redeemer that we see in Ruth shows something of the character of God, stepping in to help a family member in need, despite the cost or effort that may be required. And that is the real story behind the book of Ruth. A kinsman redeemer could help solve issues of those made poor due to bereavement. But God had to do something special to solve the issues of the sinful human heart that make each one of us spiritually bankrupt. God sent his son Jesus as our kinsman in human form to act as our spiritual redeemer. He is the one that steps in to save us from our lives of spiritual poverty that are sinful and deserve punishment. He took that punishment on himself when he died in our place on the cross. This is real saving grace that caused God to send his only son as an atoning sacrifice, so that we could have our sins forgiven if we believe and trust in him and make him the Lord of our lives. This opportunity to have our broken relationship with God restored and look forward to spending eternity with him is purely down to the grace of God. We can't earn forgiveness by doing good deeds, going to church, or giving to charity. But this is tough for us to accept in a society that tells us if we work hard enough we can have everything. We cannot change ourselves. We cannot make ourselves good enough to reach the standard that God has set. Our sin cuts us off from him. The grace that God offers is a free gift. But as we heard earlier with Richard's illustration, it's a gift that we have to ask for. We have to humble ourselves before God, admit our sinfulness, and ask him to wash us clean and accept us into his family. And he is willing to do that, even for us. Have you asked Jesus to be your kinsman redeemer? Do you enjoy the riches of God's grace? Because of this grace, we can know God both as our Creator and as our loving Heavenly Father. His grace is sufficient to cleanse all our sin and remove the guilt that comes with it. Jesus' death and resurrection made it all possible. As we sang earlier, freely given but bought with precious blood, my life was ransomed at Calvary. There my Jesus gave everything he could that I might live for eternity. As Christians, we are instructed to take up our cross on a daily basis. And we are warned that just as so many despised Jesus during his earthly life, they will despise us, his brothers and sisters. But as we share in Christ's suffering, we are comforted by him and share with him the rich resources of God's provision. God in his grace will look after us. He will provide what is needed to help us. As John Calvin wrote, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Or as we sang earlier, my finest efforts are filthy rags, but I am made righteous by trusting in the Son. I have God's riches at Christ's expense. Do you know this for yourself as the truth? Ruth knew that she needed to be rescued from her desperate situation. Are you aware that if you don't know Jesus as your kinsman redeemer, then you are in a desperate situation too? Ruth looked for rescue through the grace of a kinsman redeemer. Can I urge you to pursue the rescue from your sin that is on offer by the grace of God through Jesus Christ? Jesus, the ultimate kinsman redeemer. And pursue it in the same way that Ruth did, with humility, honesty, and boldness. Be bold enough to look at what God offers, humble enough to bow before the Creator of the universe, and honest enough to admit your need for forgiveness. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God be with us all evermore. Amen.